All right, we're going to call the October 28th Labor Committee meeting to order. It is 6:15, October 28th. Quick roll call, Sean Meskey.
Fernando Alvarado.
Kathy Schwantes.
Brian Grummond.
Samantha Beckman.
Vicki Davis.
Thank you all for your attendance this evening. Our second item on the agenda is public comment. Seeing no one here from the public, we will then move on to Employee Personnel Policy, the ninth section. HR Director Brett Beckman, please.
So this is all the same from the last time we met 2 weeks ago, except I did add in a section to both of them in the policies in full. So the one that says sexual harassment prevention policy and respectful workplace policy, they each had a line added to them. It's in green to try to help you find it easier. But under the section where it describes if a council member is the alleged offender, then it has that whole paragraph on who you report to in the city council, and it says the city council in full will take action as it deems appropriate. And then I added the line that in some circumstances this could result in a forfeiture of office for the council member, because it fell under the city charter under the description of moral turpitude that could result in forfeiture of office, and also the conviction of a felony, which we talked about as well, which most likely wouldn't be the case, but could happen, depending on the severity of the violation. So that was added in green to the policy in full for both of them.
What page is that on?
So let's see. So the first thing we have is the sexual harassment prevention. This first section is the part of the handbook. So then on the page that says sexual harassment prevention policy at the very top, okay, the third page from there, the copies did not come through very well.
Okay. Oh, I can't see it. It's green.
Oh, it's very light.
It's just very light. It didn't come across green. So we must be out of green ink in our copier.
Here where it says...
Oh, I see.
So there's that one. And then under respectful workplace policy, it's actually the very last page, but it's basically the same paragraph. Under special reporting requirements, third paragraph in is where we added that.
All right, those were that was the only piece that was preventing us from moving that forward. Is there an appetite to move this forward to the council?
Motion to approve the ninth section forward to the city council.
The motion made and seconded to forward the ninth section of the personnel policy manual to the council. Discussion.
Again, I just think it's really great the way it says, here are the steps, here are the words you can use when you're speaking with someone. It gives both parties some responsibility, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on that motion?
Holds one responsible, gives...
All right, hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That will go then to the next council meeting. The one that is on our timing schedule is the next item. That is the 10th section. Ms. Beckman.
So this one's pretty straightforward. It's kind of a lot of our sections we'd already discussed before, policies we've already updated before. So we had the resignations, again, providing at least 2 weeks' notice and a 4 weeks' notice. The only difference was the league recommended, I think, 10 days, and the other one was 30 days. So we just kept it consistent with what we had previously at 2 weeks and 4 weeks. Severance pay, that's, again, something else we'd already approved before, but I included it in here as well, just for easy reference. Discipline, all very straightforward, no change from the league's language as far as process and steps. They followed all the same steps as our current discipline policy as well. The only green you'll see is that section where we list the disciplinary offenses. That was from our current personnel policy, but trimmed very, very much down. And then also the process for removing oral and verbal reprimands. We had that in our current personnel policy as well. Grievance procedure standard, I just changed it to the 10 working days because that matched our union contracts and our department head and supervisors as well, so I just wanted to keep all of that consistent. And then I did want to just point out the final step in the grievance process actually would be an appeal to the full city council. The first step, I have it worded this way because the unions have a very specific step schedule set out in their contracts. So this section is really only going to apply to the non-union employees. So if it's a non-union employee, that means they report directly to the city administrator already. So that's why the next step in the grievance is appealing to the labor committee and then city council.
Is there a clear delineation in that, or is that just something we know that the union procedure supersedes this procedure?
It says that at the beginning of the handbook. At the beginning of the whole handbook. So, yes. Right. Yep. That will always take precedence over the handbook. That was the only change from the league's language. Otherwise, the education and training and conferences, travel and meal allowance, again, another one we'd already hit on, so I just referenced our previous policy and the per diem rate. Outside employment, no change. We just added additional information to match the current outside employment policy we have at the city. Otherwise, nothing really deviating from the league's recommended language.
Any initial or final questions for Samantha on any of these sections that are highlighted? Please.
I was going to ask about the travel and meal allowance under expenses. Under employees who find it necessary to use their private automobiles for city travel, if there's a city vehicle available, why would we not use that if it's available?
The employees normally always do if we have one of them available out here, but if they're going to be traveling out of town or for a conference for a full day, sometimes they won't take a city vehicle if it's going to be for the full day. You can reserve and check out this car, but there are circumstances where we don't have enough for everyone to use one.
So how many vehicles do we have then? One or two?
I know we have the Explorer for sure. Okay. That's the only one that I've ever used.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we use our resources before we go down that other road.
Yeah, I've been to cities where each entity, if it was the utilities, they had a vehicle. And then each of the departments, they had, the gas department had a specialized vehicle, but there was always the supervisor's vehicle, who didn't have all the tools with them. So in that particular area, there might be 4 to 5 vehicles that they could borrow. Then the street department maintained an 18-passenger van that the park department would use for trips during the summer for kids, going to a water park or something like that. So we had lots and lots of vehicles, so we just set it up that if you needed a vehicle, you contacted Mary, and Mary would get you a vehicle for where you were going. So you didn't have to call Park and Rec to find out if their vehicle was available, or street department, or the Public Utility Commission, or whatever. The employee didn't have to do that. The gal in the Public Works would just go, okay, we need a vehicle for Brian. He's going to St. Paul, tomorrow. Who's got a vehicle open? And they would just line it up. But in a situation when if you've only got one vehicle, the odds are that it's just not going to be enough for everybody to use.
Right.
I've seen it. I mean, they've had it. If there is a vehicle available and you did not choose to use it, you chose to use a personal one, they had it at a lower than the IRS rate.
But, yep.
I mean, that is an option, but we do not have it.
We had 50%. If there was a vehicle available, and you decided you wanted to use your own vehicle because you're stopping by your grandchild's house on the way back or whatever, you still got reimbursed, but it was at half the government rate.
Right. So, I mean, that is an option. We don't have that here, but I may have seen that before.
There's some situations too where if I lived out of town, and heaven forbid our employees live out of town, but let's be honest, we are in the Lakes area, and they have to drive all the way into town to get a vehicle just to drive all the way back to go into the cities. Mm-hmm. Some of that just doesn't make time sense, and so I have no problem paying them at the IRS rate.
Further discussion on Section 10.
Motion to approve personnel policy Section 10.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to forward Section 10 to the council. Further discussion on Section 10. I will wait for proper wait time as I see you flipping. Since flipping has stopped, all in favor of Section 10 going to the council, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
That was an aye.
Okay.
Four.
All right, very good. Next item is the new one, Section 11. And are we at the end?
Yes.
11 is the end?
11 is the final Excellent. Section. Excellent. Finally.
It's been a long road.
It has been.
Yeah. And really not.
January, I think about it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But then we're going to go back and we're going to finally tune the road.
Yeah.
Reshape the...
the curb. Some old and some new. I'm sorry. If you would, please.
Because we do still have probably 8 or 9 sections in our current personnel policy that weren't touched on in the league's policy. So those last 8 or 9, I'll either update myself, see if they need updating, or maybe they don't need to be in the handbook anymore. So those ones I'll look at individually and see what we do with those. So, but this is the last official section of the league's recommended language, so that's wonderful. Drug-free workplace. City driving policy, again, that's one that we updated actually several months ago, so that one had already been updated, so I included it in full again for you to review in case you saw anything else that needed updating. Cell phone use, all stayed the same. Safety, I just added a line about complying with our safety manual, which is another fairly long document, though, that has been updated within the last few years. So there's no need to go through that one in full, but just referenced where employees can find it. They're also given a copy at orientation, and then it is available on the W Drive for everyone to review. And everything stayed pretty standard. Safety equipment and gear, we do have a reimbursement policy for safety glasses and safety boots, so I included those. Otherwise, everything stayed the same.
Can I ask about that safety glasses and boots?
Yes.
Is that considered, again, non-union employees?
It is. There's a uniform allowance in the union contracts, but there is no safety glasses and boots reimbursement policy in the union contracts.
So those things are not considered part of a uniform?
I can pull up some of the union contracts and look. I believe the Public Works one is just a general statement of a clothing allowance. It's mm-hmm. called clothing specifically. But the PD does actually list out every item.
Oh, I know.
So I can look at that one again. Because the boots, that's the boots section applies to the Public Works employees specifically. Not just union, though. It also does apply to our summer help if they're going to be needing to have thick boots for the work.
I'll tell you, that has been a bone of contention in negotiating contracts of clothing allowances.
Okay.
There was a push by the last council, I think, and maybe even this council, negotiations to try to eliminate most of those if they're not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
That if you were going to have an allowance that could simply go through the department head of that piece, that conversation had happened.
Yep.
Because it was all these extra little compensation pieces that were getting to be frustrating and they added up.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing something like this, I'd prefer it to be right here, because if it's something safety related, then there's no need to have that in a contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the discussion about costs of uniforms and what constitutes a uniform, all those things have been talked about in the recent past. So maybe if we know what the contracts say, make sure this is not going to interfere with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Consistency.
That'd be good. So I'm not opposed to the language here. I just want to make sure it jives with the contracts.
Yep.
Yeah, other cities that I've worked in, we would have the, if they're the over your prescription glass safety glasses, I mean, those are provided. And then once every, I don't remember if it was once a year, once every 2 years, you would get the safety prescription glasses. Okay? If you happen to break them, you're on your luck until you get the next one, mind you. And the boots, we actually had a limit because we went and said, well, how much does a safety steel-toed, you know, for applicable for your job, how much is that shoe? And, you know, let's say they were $80. We'd say we will pay, you know, whatever the average meeting was, we'll pay $85. And if you want the super-duper Red Wing Deluxe version with the high tops and the double laces, you can pay the difference. But we're only going to pay for the shoe you actually need. And that was, there was just a dollar figure. We just stuck it in there, and that worked out really well.
I wonder if we can explore maybe a little bit of that. I mean, we haven't gotten to the full equipment gear policy here, but maybe we can sort of bring some of those things in some kind of a...
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Have a base. You can go above the base, but...
For the safety boot specifically, it does have the up to 175 is what our current one is.
Okay.
It doesn't put a cap on the glasses, though.
No, it does not.
We don't have to deal with electric linemen on this side of the house, but their boots get really expensive.
Mm-hmm. Now... Do any of our employees drive like at bigger trucks that need like a commercial driver's license or anything like that?
Oh, sure.
If that's the case, I'm wondering under the driver safety rules, we should have something about federal, state, and local laws. You know, I don't know. I broaden that out a little bit, maybe.
It does say on number six, all state and local laws must be obeyed.
Yeah,
is that
going
to cover it okay for you?
Well, I'm wondering about. Are there different regulations at the federal level?
Are there federal laws?
For the CDLs?
I can look that up. I do not know.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's a state-issued license.
State-issued, but I mean, we got regulation?
I think there probably are.
And just check on it, and if that's applicable, I would...
You can certainly have it.
Yeah, I don't want to...
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we're aware of that. And then... I know cell phone use while driving or operating. Do we have to outline specifically what we're concerned about, or is it just cell phone use is good enough? Texting, or do you think, or do we do an IE, texting, looking at video,
taking pictures,
whatever. I don't know if
internet
it's,
browsing. I mean, well, you almost get to the point where once you start, how many things do you add?
Right. I don't know. That's why I'm asking, is cell phone use good enough?
Can we just put the hands free like the law is right now?
Right.
It does reference.
Maybe that's
right.
Hands
well,
free.
I mean, that's
and
what
again,
it's
saying.
You still have the number piece two, we just forwarded here.
Yeah.
Isn't Section 9 have some... of how you're supposed to conduct oneself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have it memorized here.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at inappropriate websites while working on your cell phone, I would imagine that might all fall into different areas
that
of this thing.
Yeah.
You
know,
yeah.
Granted,
yeah.
you're not a responsible driver, but you're probably not a very good employee at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll get you for driving in for conduct.
Yeah.
Any initial questions on Section 11, the last of the sections? So we'll get the questions answered about contracts and what they have for what's constituted or carried under their clothing pieces. and check into federal rules of the road. Any additional questions we have on Section 11 we'd like addressed for next time? Again, I'll give you a couple minutes to peruse through what you have in front of you.
Now, we're talking, there was a section talking about alcohol and drug treatment and counseling. Seems like the new thing is this vaping with synthetic drugs. Where does that fit in, and is that something that needs to be addressed, or what's the committee think?
You know, I'm no expert, but scheduled drugs are laid out as illicit drugs. Are we classifying vaping as a drug? Is it?
I don't know if it's a drug, but I think that some of the products that you vape are drugs. You know.
I would assume if they're a drug, they're going to be on the schedule of drugs that are illegal.
Okay.
I teach a unit in drugs in forensics, and then you have schedule 1, 2, 3. These are illegal drugs are on those schedules.
Okay.
I don't think we can make a policy here that would permit any scheduled drug
to be
illegal or otherwise. Because right. Okay. I mean, they just are.
Okay.
But
there was a time, you know, when they came out with the synthetic marijuana that nobody knew what to do with them.
Right.
You know, it wasn't marijuana. It was potpourri sprayed with chemicals.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's something to think about.
Well, it is, and I understand that the thing that people are selling quite liberally right now, that's going to be put on the schedule, and those sales will cease. But right now, it's in that in-between zone. That is it's an issue, there's no doubt.
Well, that is something you can go, it doesn't have to be illegal to prohibit vaping while on company property or obviously at work. So that is something we could go above and beyond what the law allows and prohibit vaping on the premises. Well,
I'm just opening it to discussion for food for thought. You know, I don't know what I know a lot of communities are outlawing it currently, and the state is trying to outlaw it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that will be the umbrella that picks us up. I don't know. But I think it's something that we can't... Well, I think we have to be a little aware of it. That's all as a committee, you know.
How do we deal with smoking?
That's just what I was trying to think too, and remember to, if we had a previous section related to it, I'll look and see if we already have a section, because I feel like we did, but I don't want to.
Because if we have a section on smoking, it just seems easy to dovetail that in.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense to me.
Because I put that in the same kind of category.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We might have.
I would not be in favor of banning vaping and what. While allowing smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we want that. I think they're kind of a married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll double check, but I think we did already have the smoking section, and I'm pretty sure it did say anything nicotine devices or something. I think it did have updated language already, but I'll double check though.
Good. Mm-hmm. Anything else that we have in this first reading of Section 11? city driving, safety equipment, gear policy. All right, then we'll ask you to continue to look those over. If any other questions you think about them, I think you could probably feel free to forward those to HR Director Beckman, and she can address those for our next meeting. Is there anything else that needs to come before the Labor Committee this evening? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. We are adjourned. Again, thank you for your attendance this evening.
Wow, thank you.